Howdy, everybody. Bob Tallman for No Spin Rodeo. No politics, no BS, just hard-hitting news and rodeo commentary from two of the most trusted sources in our sport. Kendra Santos, Tommy Joe Lucia. Listen up. Here we go.
Well. Hello, everybody. Welcome to No Spin Rodeo. This is Ep 5-2, our third consecutive weekly edition. Thank you for all of you watching us on YouTube. Thank you for those of you watching us on Facebook Live. And thank you for those of you who are listening to us the next day in your car going to make a living. Good afternoon, Greg and Kendra. How are you guys today?
I'm doing wonderful.
So, Kendra, you're in the tack room. It's some NFR numbers. What's your 20? Because this is a different look for you.
I'm in Dakota.
You're where?
I'm in Dakota.
Oh.
Steerable capital.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's very, very, very windy here today.
It's very windy in North Central Texas. Is it windy in North Carolina, Greg?
It is, and I found something negative about moving to North Carolina, the pollen. It is unbelievable. I was flying in yesterday afternoon, and it looked like the trees were on fire, but it was just the pollen being blown off the trees, and everything's yellow. My back porch is yellow. Cars are yellow.
Including your sinus cavities are yellow. Yeah. Yeah. This is where you got to be on the Sudafed and half asleep. See, I can't take Benadryl. If I take Benadryl, like, it would be like me going through menopause. Like, I get very, very angry on Benadryl. And it's the only thing that works when pollen. Have you guys seen that clip where the guy in South Texas? I'll have to send it to you. For the guy's doing a report out in the middle of nowhere, and he's from downtown Dallas, and they sent him, you know, out into the hills, and this bug flies in his mouth, and he just loses it on camera. Pollen, this is redneck. Anyway, sorry about that. Well, hello everybody, welcome. We better get into some real stuff here. Kendra, it's Crossfire Day, or formerly known as Point of View. Now, remember, we're going to try to do this in 30 minutes, which means we may be done in an hour. Kendra, give us the headline and get us kicked off today so we can get rolling.
Okay, so today we're calling this one When the Going Gets Tough. And we have a few examples to illustrate it that have all just happened. And so the first one. The kid, a lot of people were watching it on Cowboy Channel, Tyler Kipps, a kid, I think he's originally from Colorado. He lives in Stephenville now, bull rider, 22 years old. Monday night, March 24th, he got hit kind of what we thought, you know, with a horn in the chest. And it was really bad. It right at the scene, I think both of us heard, you know, people who were right there at Austin, that it was really, really scary, and that there were actually kind of some, you know, borderline miracles performed right there on the medical side. And how many people since have told me, if you're going to get hurt, that, you know, there's some really fine care there. So anyway, the diagnosis ended up being, there were so many rumors. He needed a heart transplant and all these sorts of, that was an actual rumor. He actually ruptured the tricuspid valve on the right side of his heart. And so they took him into surgery Friday, there in Austin. And they were able, Dr. Kessler, he told Tyler's mom and girlfriend that, and Michelle, his mom, has been in touch, as has his girlfriend, Blaze, that they repaired, they were hoping they wouldn't have to replace it. They repaired the valve once, and then they didn't feel like it was perfect. So they went back in and did it again to where they really felt like they did a perfect job. And so To fast forward to today, which is 4 days later, Tuesday, April 1st, and Dr. Kessler released Tyler to go home, you know, a week after. Yes. And so that
Is that him today?
There it is. That's him today. And I just, it's like, that's answered prayers. And that is, you know, I mean, in this case, when the going gets tough, I mean, this kid, you know, imagine laying there not knowing your future, you know, from Monday through until Friday. And then, you know, there was a video where his first time getting up out of bed and some of his Bullring buddies were there. It was pretty cool. The Gray brothers and Colton Fritzlin went and were there when he got up for the first time. But anyway, the fact that this kid it gets to go home is just right on. I mean, that's fabulous news. So, okay, that's a happy ending.
Now, he had a vest on, right? So he took that much, that much force. Well, the next quick question before we go on that I just wonder, and I know you're not a doctor, but I'm assuming that if you have a ruptured valve, every time your heart beats, it bleeds into your chest. I would think that, right? Every time it's almost like a leaky PVC pipe inside your body. I would think it was really scary. Anyway, go on. This is random thoughts.
I think very, very scary from what his girlfriend and mom, they were scared out of their wits about this situation. And for him to be headed home is just amazing. So
praise God. Okay.
So I just went to, and I, God, if I counted it, how many times the first professional event I ever worked was the BFI, and I was in college. The Bob Fison Invitational Team Roping Classic just happened Saturday at the Lazy E Arena, and where it moved, it was in Reno. It's been in California. It was in Denton, Texas 1 year, Las Vegas, Reno for a very, very long time. And when COVID shut Reno down in 2020, the BFI moved to the Lazy E, and that is its new home. But Saturday was the 48th annual. It started in 1977 out in California, but there was a really freak thing happened. And like, you know, we see these things now, and this is why I think it's important for us to address them and also to address the rumors with facts. We see these things happen. So Austin was on the Cowboy Channel. In this case, there was a live stream on roping.com of the BFI. And in round two, Marcus Terrio and Wyatt Cox just barely got across the line. It's 19-foot score, long score there. And the head horse that Marcus was riding, which belongs to Caleb Driggers, two-time world champ. His name's Chevy. He's a superstar from the Rope Horse Fraternities, young, talented, 7 years old, just like a, you know, rising star on the horse front. He went down. It was just a freak deal. Like, it happened so fast. He lost his hind end. They immediately cut the live stream. But and it couldn't have been handled any better right there in real time. You know, Marcus, I sit there with tears in my eyes, these things, because I'm sitting there and I'm like looking up above this horrible situation where here's Marcus. He dives on this horse to help keep him down so he won't, you know, just because they don't know what the injuries are. And then here comes just an absolute army of cowboys out there to help. And, you know, I'm looking up, meanwhile, at Marcus's banner, the timed event champions. The banners hang across the rafters of the Lazy E, just like now they're starting to do with the NFR icons at the Thomas & Mack. And, you know, Marcus won that thing in 2020. So I've seen the greatest moment of this kid's career right there in that arena. And then I'm sitting here watching him just running on adrenaline and compassion, basically, to help this horse. And everybody handled it just, and I mean, talk about the camaraderie of the cowboys. It was, couldn't have been better. Well, anyway, so they took Chevy to Oak Ridge Equine Hospital, which is just kind of down the road from the Lazy E. And, you know, for so many people, The rumors, of course, started immediately because it did. It looked, you know, really scary. And I can say that as of today, and it's April 1st, and this is not April Fool's jokes or anything, that I'm in, you know, steady touch with Caleb Driggers, who owns this horse. And Chevy is alive. And so the rumors that he's gone are not true. And the rumors that he broke his back, that X-rays did not show that, unless something comes up later that wasn't shown. But there are also rumors that, oh, he's up, and I've seen a picture of him being up, but, you know, oh, he's fine, he's ready to run one. Those aren't true either. So this is a really tough thing, and we don't know the outcome yet. And so if people could be patient, I'm posting daily updates, you know, from Driggers himself. And today he did transport the horse to his vet, which is Outlaw Equine Josh Harvey in Decatur, Texas. And that's where Chevy is now. But his future's uncertain. And it was just one of those freak deals. But anyway, it was very hard, you know, seeing Caleb right out the back when the young star of his herd, you know, just went down, and seeing Marcus out there in that arena. So the thing about it is that was a pretty miserable, very, very difficult day for those guys. So, but by nightfall, that Caleb and Junior Nogueta won their second straight BFI, and Marcus and Wyatt Cox, who had jumped a charter to Austin, won the Branding Irons at Austin that night, from one of the worst days that they're going to have or have had, you know. That was cool. It was just, I mean, it's still far from over, you know, but it was a pretty wild, happy ending. So,
well, a couple questions for you. Is there any report on what physically happened to the horse, or are they still looking into that?
They still don't. I mean, as of today, Driggers is like, I'm like, surely there's been like, you know, they've done all these tests and everything, and the vets just kept telling him, you know, he's on around the clock observation. But, you know, we just don't have a definitive answer for you. And I just, you know, he's not out of the woods. And so we have to keep, you know, stay hopeful, but we also, let's, you know, just stick to the facts. So we don't know. It's not like, oh, he has this exact situation going on. It's not yet determined, but Driggers has him in the hands he wants him in, and so.
Well, one more question, for the fans on here that may not know the acronym BFI, and can you give us a little history, like who competes, what's the competition? The BFI is the Bob Feist Invitational, so I think this would probably be appropriate if people don't know. If you could give us a little background, since you were there when you were a teenager. Did they have rubber wheel? Yeah, but anyway, so tell me about, yeah, let's just quickly, what's the BFI? Who competes?
So yes, the BFI is this year there were 108 teams, which is, you know, pretty, they vary a little bit each year, but it's the elite. It's roping's elite, and what every cowboy will tell you that sets it apart from every other roping, you know. It's very tradition rich, very prestigious. It was the first of its kind of an open, you know, people told Bob Feist he was crazy when he started this all the way back, you know, in 1977. But it's a six header, which is unusual.
Team roping.
It's a long score. It's a long score. It's a team roping. Yep. It's a long score. It's 19 feet now, but originally in Chowchilla, California, it was 35 feet. Which is, I think, you know, that's like Cheyenne. I think Salinas might be 40, but anyway, it's a long score. It's a six header, and it is, the cattle are notoriously strong, fresh, fast. So like you have to have great horses. There's no, you cannot luck out and get by, you know, six rockets. Basically it's high degree of difficulty, and it's this roping just it just has all the respect of everyone. It's like an absolute bucket list situation. And to win it twice and to win it back to back like they did, puts them in. On the plane, I went from home to Phoenix, and on the flight from Phoenix to Oklahoma City, Rube Woolsey was on there. And I would mention Rube, the first to go back-to-back winning the BFI was Corey Kintz, won it with Rube Woolsey in 95 and Matt Tyler in 96. And Rube waited for me. He got off the plane first and he waited for me. And he looks at me and he goes, "It is so good to see you. I've seen your boobs." And I'm like, It's true. Because
what?
This is so perfect. It's like, okay, because in 1995, I had a baby named Taylor, and he was zonked out in my backpack. And then what did he do? He woke up right when it was interview time with the champs. What am I going to do? I look at Rube and Corey. Corey is like, no problem. He already had kids. And I'm like, okay, Rube. Rube's not even married at the time. We can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. If you want to hold this little baby while he's hungry, and they're like, no, do what you got to do. And I think I probably scarred Rube for life, but, and I said, you do know that baby's 30. And he goes, I know exactly. Yeah. Because I'll never forget winning the BFI was like, you know, a huge highlight of his roping. But anyway, so then, okay. Also back to back, since Caleb and Junior just did it, they joined Charles Pogue and Britt Buckus and Speed Williams and Rich Skelton. And so it's just to win the BFI is a feat because it is just, I'm trying to compare it to something. It's like, it's not like where you can go chuck and duck and maybe be, you know, 3-8 and win a one header. It is like you do not cut corners and win the BFI.
Has anybody won it three times?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm going to, you're going to make me remember that. Corey Kuntz won it again in 2021 with Manny Aguiza. Clay Ryan has won it three times. Speed and Rich won it a third time because they won it in 98 and then won it in 2001.
So Driggers, they got to win a couple more to set the all-time record. That's what I'm getting at.
Yes, but I mean, for such a downer of a day,
yeah,
to end like that is. And Driggers has been having trouble with you know, he's been really. By the way, he borrowed a horse. He lends his buddy a horse. He borrowed a horse from Brenton Hall, the NFR header. Brenton's wife Shayla, her sister Brooke, is who Driggers borrowed the horse from that he rode at the BFI. So there's camaraderie all over the place, right? Girls, guys, ropers. Anyway, pretty cool.
Yeah. Clearing up the facts. The horse is not dead. The horse is not well yet.
We don't
but
know.
Is under,
we don't we know don't the future. Know.
Yeah, we don't know the future. And the bright side of it, both those guys in a really bad, hard time come out on top. Cool stuff.
For sure. Okay, so let's go on to illustration number three about, you know, when the going gets tough. So back to Austin, because so many people saw this, the last ride of the semifinals in the bareback riding on Friday night was Rocker Steiner on Butler and Son Rodeo's 892 Ice Cat. And so, you know, the rodeo world watched it happen. And I don't know at what point they cut away, but virtually everyone has seen it. So to address the rumors, there was two widespread rumors. One was that Rocker turned down the re-ride because he was so shaken up that he simply could not go on. And that's untrue.
Well, so for those of you that might not be aware, the horse jumps out two or three licks, is bucking, kicking over his head, and then just collapses as if he passed out or just immediately collapsed. And Rocker had to get his leg out. They come out there to get him off, and they ended up transporting the horse out of the arena, in case you didn't see it. So that's what we're talking about.
Okay. So the reason on Rocker's end of it that he didn't take the re-ride is because the re-ride horse was the first turnout, and Cole Franks had already turned out this horse. And so Rocker just decided not to, you know, risk injury or whatever you want to say to get on that particular horse.
Okay.
Makes sense. And so then the rumor about the horse. So the truth about the horse is that she broke her back. And like what happened with Chevy at the BFI, I mean, this could have happened at a racetrack. This could have happened, you know, bucking and playing out in the pasture, whatever. Ice Cap, she broke her back and was immediately taken outside. You know, they immediately determined what had happened, and she was, you know, humanely euthanized so that she, you know, so as not to suffer. But on the rumor front, there were, you know, people that were like, you know, oh, she had a heart attack, and or, oh, what about, you know, the Butlers had that terrible incident with the Remensen in the feed last year and lost so many horses, and Dr. Greg Vinniclausen, who's their vet, who they trust with their livelihood, you know, he had said that it potentially Remensen can cause future heart issues. So I spoke with Dr. Greg Vinniclausen today, and he, for one thing, he said horses do not have heart attacks. They have aneurysms, but not heart attacks. But
interesting.
He wanted to put, he said his phone, by the way, has blown up over this issue. You know, it was a heart attack, and it's because of the Remensen and da 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 da. So he said, as far as the rumors of any Butler horses, you know, having heart issues and now being dangerous, he said that's 100% fiction, false, not true. That they ran tests on every single horse that survived their catastrophic Remensen episode last year, and tests showed conclusively that 100% of the horses that ate Remensen died, but there was not a single trace, not a drop of Remensen in the horses that lived.
Wow.
So if you got any of it, you died. And if you got none of it, you're 100% fine. And you have no, this is not a case where it could haunt you later with your heart. So, and I will say, Greg, Dr. Vinniclausen, he's awesome. But he said, you know, that mare, she was here last year because she ran into a fence or something, and she cut her leg. So she went to his clinic there in Canyon, Texas, and hung out. And he said, all the girls, you know, fell in love with her. She was sweeter than shit. She was just a doll. And everybody around here just dearly loved her. And he said, such a loss. And she's young. He thinks maybe only like 10 years old. But again, it's just, you know, things happen, walking across the street or whatever, things happen in life. And it's a sad loss for the Butler family and for the Cowboys, you know? So
absolutely.
Very talented, talented mare. Okay. Well, the last one I was going to mention on this, when the going gets tough, is like, this is so badass to me. Walt Woodard, who's going to be 70 years old in November, just finished fifth at the BFI, which is the equivalent of the Masters, right? Like, this is, you know, big dogs only, exclusive, elite, world class, whatever. He's going to be 70. And with Manny Egusquiza, who won the BFI in 2021 with Corey Koontz, ended up fifth. And like, a couple of stats worth mentioning about Walt Woodard. He won his first world championship in 1981. And then 26 years later, he won his second world championship in 2007. And that's nuts. But anyway, the youngest BFI champion of all time is Travis Woodard from in 2003. He won it with Mikey Fletcher. And the oldest BFI champion of all time is Walt Woodard, when he won it in 2008 at 52 years old with Clay Tryon. And so for him to show up, you know, people literally like Nikki Northcott, Ketch Kelton, Tyler Tryon, Denton Dunnings, they could literally be his grandchildren, you know, based on their age. And, you know, they're all climbing to knock the big dogs off the porch. And this 70-year-old man, I shot him a text the morning after, and I'm like, thanks for making me feel five again. Because, you know, he's from California forever, and I'm like, how did that, I mean, that's extraordinary. And mm-hmm. and like, so many people have said, you don't really understand what a feat that is until you get to be 70.
Yeah, well, I can't do a lot of things now, and I'm not near that. But could you do me a favor? Any chance you could text your boy Walt and ask him what his supplements are? Like, I'm interested in what he's taking, if you don't mind, because it might be good for me to get on it right now. So
I think, you know what? I think the power of positive thinking is his drug. Uh-oh. Because I love the conversations that I've had with that man over the years. And I remember being like in the Cowboy parking lot at Omaha years ago. And it was when it was one of the playoff events, you know, and he's talking to me, and it's like literally his, whether he made the NFR or not that year came down to that steer. And he's talking so philosophically, and like, I was just blown away that
mind of a champion.
These conversations. He's an absolute champion.
Wow. Congratulations, Walt. Congratulations. He's cool. He's always been cool. And to still be cool and still be putting it on them boys, that's worth a shout out. That's worth a shout out.
Pretty cool. Well,
Greg and I were just at a really cool event, and I'm going to bring it up real quick and try to make up some ground, because we know our friend Kendra, she steals all my time. we went to Road to the Horse. There's a couple things. So what Road to the Horse is essentially four horse trainers from different countries and various backgrounds gather there and are selected. And the Pitchfork Ranch brings a remuda of geldings that have only been doctored. They're green. They run them out in the arena. We produce it for them. We do the broadcast, and I do the live production. And they pick a horse. And then 3.5 hours later, so they have 2 1-hour and 45-minute sessions in a round pen with these horses, with the crowd watching. Now, this crowd sits there for 8 hours. Watching this is how
every day
interesting it is. Every day, four pins going. 3.5 hours later, they ride out of the round pen and they go through this rail work like you would see at a regular show, with stopping and turning, and then this amazing obstacle course, which has got stuff that most people can't even understand. And I could talk on and on about it, but it's a very cool event. Check it out on YouTube. It's on there. It's worth watching, especially if you're interested in horse training. But the reason I'm saying it is we saw a nose spinner there, and it happened to be one of the contestants' wives. So one of my really good friends, Phil Hogan, was a contestant. Now, Phil picked the rankest horse he could have out of the 15 horses, consequently not placing where he wanted. But his wife, Bridget, is a no spinner, listens to us. She said, shout out. She likes that we went every week. I wish she would have said go back to every other week, but she likes it every week. So congratulations, Phil. It's interesting in that picture there, Tick Maynard, the guy in the cowboy hat and the pink shirt, he doesn't wear a cowboy hat. He's an English jumper trainer. So that's the only picture you're going to see with him, a cowboy hat. He's got the helmet on, his jumping helmet on, and different kinds of pants. And so the two in the middle, Vicky and Tick, they were English jumping horse trainers, whole different way. And then the other two was Phil. Phil, go back to the other picture, Greg. Phil's on the left. He's the cowboy. And by the way, interesting enough, Phil's a gold card member, and he also won the Linderman Award in 1989. And we've talked about the Linderman. So he's an accomplished professional rodeo cowboy turned horse trainer. And the other interesting guy, the guy on the far right, which you would love him, This guy would be such a good interview for you, Kendra. That's Buster McLaurie. He has worked on almost every ranch. He said that he's probably trained 10 times more horses than anybody else in the field. But he was the one on the mic, because they're mic'd up and you can hear him. He's the one like, well, sometimes you get in a bristle patch and you just got to ride out of it. I mean, he was just a charm. So it's a really cool event. Congratulations, Tick. And the last thing I would say, which is what I think is the most impressive, and this is what Kendra would talk about if she were telling this story. Billy Morris of Western Horseman, the owner of the Morris Media family, he was there, very elderly and very frail, but addressed the crowd because he loves this event. And here's what was amazing to me. All of his staff that there is putting this event on, they are so loyal to him because he's such a landmark leader and good person. He's the guy that says, we don't do that to an employee because they're family. We don't do that to competition because we win, right? So shout out to Mr. Billy Morris for putting on this event and for being a class act, because he's a class act in the corporate world, and we could use some more of those. So shout out to him, and the Road to the Horse was really, really cool. So my next thing is, it's April Fool's. This drives me batty. Every time on April Fool's, these associations put stuff out, and these brain cell of amoeba people that read this stuff believe it. Example number one, and I think that the PBR has done this. I think you said this, Kendra. I think this is like the ninth straight year they've done this on April 1st, where they're changing it to 8.5 seconds. Hey, that's fake news, everybody. April 1st. It's an April Fool's joke. And this one I thought was really good, because I got a text about it if I was involved in it. This is the character cartoon of the Wright family that's soon to be released, with all their character images that someone, now that there's AI, someone was able to whip this out. Again, fake news. So if you're reading stuff on Facebook tonight when you get home and you suspect that it might be a little out of line, it's April Fool's, people. Have you any April Fool's jokes on you today, Kendra or Greg? Anybody do anything April Fool-y?
So on a tech view, NAB, which is a National Broadcasting or National Association of Broadcasters, their association is their big meeting out in Vegas is next week, and I'm getting all kinds of emails about, you know, products that are, and stuff they're showing there. And one of them came across and said, scratch your, basically scratch your gear down and see if you won. Like they're telling you your gear is a scratch off ticket. And they have like a video of a guy scratching, you know, the handle of a camera off. And all of a sudden underneath it says you're a grand prize winner. So I thought that was pretty clever, but at the bottom it said, please don't scratch your gear.
Well, see, Greg, that just shows the difference in what we all look at. The algorithms. If I saw that, I would just ignore it. But you, being the tech guy, thought it was really funny. Yeah. Oh, anyway. Last note, and Kendra didn't beat me to this, and I can't believe it. It's very sad to me that a lot of these really long tradition rodeos, not a lot, but it's always sad to me when a long tradition rodeo puts their saddle in the saddle rack for the last time. And it in California, the Fiesta Stock Show and Rodeo concludes its 100-year run. Kendra, you probably breastfed at this event or something. So, I mean, that's just sad. That's terrible.
The Fiesta, my family and our memories and like the Branquinos and different families like that, it's hard to even put into words. For one thing, Santa Barbara is an amazing, beautiful town, you know, right there on the water, whatever. And but we would go, and I would take my boys, and you know, they have like a kids' day events, and then the kids, you know, in the performances, it's this beautiful bowl of an arena. And historically, it always had lights strung across it. Just, you know, think of old time California vaquero stuff, like where all of our traditions come from in the first place in our sport, and or so many of them. And it was the coolest, you know. They mixed in, you know, the performance would have a stock horse class, which is old timey. That's like Salinas still does it on the track, but in the rodeo. Or they might have, you know, team pinning, and then they might have five team pinning teams, and then five kids team pinning teams. So it mixed in a PRCA rodeo with old time tradition. I can't even tell you the memories my family alone has, and to hear that it's coming to an end is really sad. It's just, you can't replace, it was like, you know, you can't replace, I hate to use such a modern term, the vibe, but the old cool, I mean, you know, socialites and different people in the stands there, and, you know, grandparents bringing little kids, and but just, you know, amazing Mexican food, and just a beautiful, the best of our Western culture and heritage. And it's super sad. I bet you I got a very similar text from Jamie this morning, Jamie Brown, that you did, I'm guessing. But it's very sad. It's a very sad. And I, you know, we'd heard rumblings in recent times that, you know, what is it? The cities, you know, they want the land or whatever it is. I don't even know. But just really a tradition gone that, you know, future generations aren't even going to understand the magic of that place. So,
well, yeah. Thank you to the Fiesta Stock Show and Rodeo for millions of very golden memories in the hearts and minds of those that got to attend it, and happy trails. Okay. So this isn't a feedback show, Kendra, but we got a couple pieces of feedback that I thought I would cover, because I think it's pertinent right now. So are you cool if we pull out a couple pieces of feedback and address them, even though and I think it ties into our headline anyway. So Greg, what's that first one?
So the first feedback comes from 303. Ken Sturman resigned from the Hall of Fame. Was he asked to resign by the PRCA? That was the one thing I thought didn't need fixing.
That's a good one. So I did a little digging on this for our No Spinners. And really, all I found was Kent resigned. So I really can't answer the... I don't have any fact, nor was I able to get anybody to say that he was gently nudged to resign. However, I did see some posts and stuff. There is some tone out there. Typically, when someone does something this long and they resign, there's something up. But that's all balloons in the sky. So I don't have any proof, and we don't report fiction here. So we don't know. What we do know is Kent Sturman, who's been with the Hall of Fame a long time, is resigning. I haven't heard if they've made a choice of who's replacing him or not. The Hall of Fame is iconic, you know, and it may be that it was time to shake things up. And Kent, you know, it may have been Sturman that thought that, or someone else. But it is true he's resigning, and we'll see what holds next in the Hall of Fame. But the Hall of Fame is a precious thing. And so hopefully it goes into good hands, because he's done a good job, been very active. I don't even know. Do you have any idea how long he's been there, Kendra? I don't know.
I'm sure how many years he's been there. You know, of course, Kent is a friend of rodeo and to us for a really long time. And for a very long time ran the National High School Rodeo Association before the Hall of Fame. I don't know how many years he's been at the Hall.
Okay.
Everybody loves him for sure.
Now, the next one that ties in, and we don't have to start the feedback yet, because I want to tie it into Kendra's headline first. This is talking about PBR, and sometimes we talk about PBR. Talk about tough and getting through. because I've done this before, to the PBR staff, crew, PR folks, everybody involved, they just have completed 13 weeks of three events a weekend. 13 weeks with three PBRs in a weekend. So hats off to the PBR crew for really, really enduring. Now, I can flip that coin over and say, do you have enough good bull riders to do that? Are you watering down your brand? Are you burning out your staff? Do you have the best contract personnel at three events a weekend? All of that could be a topic, but congratulations to the PBR for being able to do 39 events in 13 weeks. That is tough stuff. And the PBR is a good example of Western lifestyle and is spreading it around the world. But what sparked me to bring this in, Kendra, was another feedback that I thought we should address because there's some scuttlebutt about it in the industry. So, Greg, let's throw that one up.
So this is from the 702. I heard the Kid Rock Rodeo was reducing their prize money for the teams. Any truth to that? Has it been released?
Okay, so at one point in doing a lot of digging on this, you know, to be a financially responsible event, I take my hat off to those people because you can't survive writing six-digit checks just to have an event forever. It's just the truth. It's wonderful to have huge prize money. It's wonderful to pay the contestants. It's wonderful to put in print that you're the XYZ rodeo. But the end has to match the means, and they've got to pay it. So there was conversation, I understand, in the PBR ranks of reducing the prize money to $750, keeping each contestant, every team member at the Kid Rock Rodeo gets $4,000 just for showing up. No entry fees. They weren't going to reduce that. What they were going to reduce was what they were talking about reducing was the overall prize money from $27,000 to $14,000. I did get a call today from the biggest of the PBR bosses, and they are guaranteeing it's the same as 2024. It's $1 million. And in that conversation, you'll only hear this on No Spin Rodeo, but tomorrow or in the next day, keep an eye out because the PBR is going to announce a broadcast partner, a national broadcast partner for Kid Rock Rodeo. And remember, the PBR has been through this whole, remember, they left Dr. Phil. Now they're on streaming platforms, but they are announcing a broadcast partner for Kid Rock Rodeo. So keep your eye out on that. That's coming around the corner. You heard it first here. So they're keeping it in $1 million. So if you've heard that or if someone's told you that, that's not the truth. It'll be the same prize money as it was last year. So there you have it. So that's kind of all I had on my list of stuff to cover. Any comments, any shuttlebutt? Otherwise, I want to challenge the no spinners that are watching on YouTube. Anything? Well, let's do that and then we'll wrap it up. Okay. For those of you that have took the time to watch us on YouTube or Facebook Live, because Kendra is the certified journalist in the family, I thought this promotion would be fun. We're going to put a picture up. We're going to leave it up there for a little bit. And what we want you to do is send us in feedback. Greg, how do you send us feedback?
You send it back to us via texting. I had to get the number.
As he tries to find the number.
So you text us at 817-668-2395, or you can email us at nospinfeedback@gmail.com.
So I'm going to put a picture up that we want you to caption. And I'm going to caption it, because I haven't seen it, but I'll give you an example of what we're looking for. And then we'll give you some sort of prize. It'll probably be like a Rumford prize, right? And if anybody's ever gotten a prize from Rump Chat or Rumford, in some cases, it's not what you thought it was going to be. So Here we go, everybody. Take a look at the screen. This is the picture that we want you to caption. This is real. This isn't AI. This is
legit.
This is a legit group of small people harnessed to an airplane and pulling it. So I'm going to caption this with how Tommy Joe feels in some conversations with Kendra. That's it.
I can't see it. You guys are both frozen on my screen right now, and I can't see the picture.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to caption it with eye roll emoji from Kendra.
That's probably pretty appropriate.
It's probably pretty. If you saw it, you would eye roll anyway live. So we're sorry that you can't see it. But hey, no spinners. Send us some feedback. We'll get you a prize of some sort. A promise. But engage with us. Caption that. We'll talk about it on the next episode of No Spin. So thank you guys for attending. Let's do a quick round the circle, Kendra. Overall, kind of final thoughts of today's show. Anything exciting coming your way? We'll start with you, Greg. You're the most boring of all of us.
Yeah, I know. But I thought this was the whole process of how a lot of these people have to deal with, you know, the struggle of the sport, you know, and it's so unpredictable. You don't know what's going to happen when you go out on a horse. You don't know what happens, you know, every day. So being able to suck it up and do it over and over. And I thought it was just amazing that some of the stories that we went over today.
Kendra from Oklahoma.
I do. There is so much adversity to overcome in rodeo. And, you know, they talk about, you know, the highs and the lows. And it was like, you know, like Drigger said the other day, he said, you know, it's so easy. Like, it's really good, easy to be a good partner or teammate or whatever when times are good. But it's when times are hard, when you hit the valleys, that you kind of find out what you're made of, you know, and you find out, I mean, that's when it's really hard. And some of these people, whether, you know, you're having open heart surgery or your herd is in jeopardy of having a future, or, you know, some of these things, it's like the adversity that, you know, it hits people just in general life and in rodeo, of course, for sure. You know, I talked to my son Taylor today, and Tandy Freeman drained 70 cc's of fluid off of his knee today. You know, it's like oh my goodness. You know, and he's wondering if he can get back. You know, he's been out for a year and wondering, gee, by May 10th, can I get back? You know, it's like this, the hurdles that you have to get past, you know, the love of the game thing, if you don't love it, it's too hard. So.
Amen. I agree. You know, this makes me think of the headlines. XYZ basketball player is out for NBA basketball player who gets paid $3 million a day, is out for an undisclosed amount of time because of a bruised, you know, left butt cheek. Right now, I know I'm probably going to get a lot of feedback that says, well, do you have any idea that the butt cheek connected to the so-and-so muscle, and when you jump, that would be very painful? That's not the point I'm trying to make. It's not about the butt cheek. Maybe it's a toenail, right? But whatever. But we have the toughest athletes. I think that rodeo athletes are most like hockey players. And I've been around a lot of these athletes going in and out of these buildings with shows. And I can tell you that those hockey players got a lot of rodeo likeness to them. They walk right out with their tooth in their hand, because the next morning they're going to have that tooth put back in their head because it was knocked out last year. And we got the same thing for rodeo. So hats off. We are a part of a cool, cool, cool group of people. And that's why, by the way, if you're out there messing around in the media and stuff, we're authentic. We don't put up with any fake news, BS, spinning it. That's why that those people that try to get into our culture, if they don't honor our culture, it's hard to get in. And that's the thing. It's because everybody's tough. And if you're not tough, you don't last here and you'll find a new job. So that's my final thought. Until we meet again, everybody, thank you for being a part of this episode of No Spin Rodeo. I think we went under an hour, even though it was supposed to be 30 minutes, but still, we are accomplishing some stuff. God bless all of you. We'll see you next Tuesday night, 6:30 Central Time, for the next episode of No Spin Rodeo. God bless you. Be safe. Happy trails.